4 suicides, 3 generations, 1 granddaughter determined not to become the 5th statistic. This is the arithmetic of the Hemingway family, where literary genius and mental illness flow through the bloodline like twin rivers that sometimes merge into tragedy. At 11 years old, Marielle Hemingway became her bedridden mother's nighttime nurse, cleaning up after the cat while absorbing curses meant for an absent father. She watched her sister Muffet run naked through town, believing she could fly, and her supermodel sister Margot abandon school to party her way toward an early grave. The question wasn't if the Hemingway curse would claim her, it was when. But what makes this story remarkable isn't the darkness Marielle inherited. It's how she learned to transform it into light through the most unexpected medicine, the simple act of breathing and bending on a yoga mat. When your family disintegrates, control becomes your religion. At 15, Marielle began her obsession. Fruit during the day, nighttime ninjas, fasting, fueled by iced espressos. She manipulated her metabolism so severely, her thyroid shut down, and her period didn't arrive until 21. She was proud of her boyish leanness, rejecting anything feminine that might connect her to the troubled women in her family. Fat meant losing control. Fat meant becoming them. After her father's affair, family dinners moved in front of the television to avoid confrontation. Without stable role models, Marielle frantically tried to be good enough to heal everything, the impossible task of a child who doesn't understand some things break beyond repair. She escaped to the mountains, finding comfort in their unchanging presence, and built a cabin in the Idaho wilderness at 18. But you can't build your way out of generational trauma. At 19, Marielle got breast implants, not for herself, but to convince director Bob Fosse she could transform from the athletic, prepubescent lesbian from Personal Best into Dorothy Stratton, the murdered Playboy playmate. It worked. Fosse taught her to embody femininity as performance, but when he chased her around her hotel room one night, she refused. "I can't be naked on set all day and then naked with you at night. I'd have no soul left." Years later, nursing her first daughter, those implants hardened and ruptured. After their removal, her breasts regained their natural shape through yoga and hiking. She would have developed the feminine figure she'd wanted all along. This realization arrived like a quiet revolution. Her body had never been the problem. Her inability to trust it had been. Competitive skiing from ages 7 to 15 reinforced this disconnection. She believed pain made her stronger, more competitive. In reality, it made her insecure and terrified. Her stomach churned with such anxiety before races that she needed antacids and suffered diarrhea. A collision left her with 40 stitches and a permanent scar, a physical reminder that there was always another test, another challenge to prove her worth. On May 11, 1984, at the Hard Rock Cafe, Marielle spotted a strawberry blonde cowboy and declared to her friend, "That's the guy I want to marry." The next night, he appeared on her blind date. They talked until he left for a meeting, promising to return in 36 minutes and 18 seconds. When he came back, they walked through Central Park at 2:30 a.m., climbed the Alice in Wonderland sculpture, and shared a kiss so overwhelming she asked him to leave. 8 months later, they married. Stephen saw her, not the Hemingway name or Hollywood actress, but the woman outrunning her family's demons. With him, she began building the stable family she'd craved. When daughter Dree arrived, weighing 5 pounds, Marielle spent a sleepless night staring at her delicate fingers under the full moon. 22 months later, Langley Fox was born. Through motherhood, Marielle created the nurturing environment she'd never received, breaking the cycle of emotional distance that had defined her childhood. The losses came in waves. Her mother, who had harbored lifelong fear and resentment, showed remarkable tenderness in her final days. The day before she died, she told Marielle, "You'll be a good mother," giving her a deeply loving smile she would never forget. Then her father, who looked great after bypass surgery, until he suddenly began wheezing and convulsing. For 3 weeks, he lay brain dead while she whispered that it was okay to go. Days after his death, Stephen learned that a mole removed from his head was stage 5 malignant melanoma. Their daughters reacted with anger and terror. Mariel pulled herself into mommy mode, establishing routine while hiding her fears. Stephen fought back, exploring his emotional pain, maintaining his diet, working with a therapist, and meditating daily. A year and a half later, scans showed no new cancer. Through it all, Mariel learned the most crucial lesson. Caring for her family required first caring for herself. You cannot pour from an empty cup. Mariel approached yoga competitively. In Bikram's 110-degree studio, she pushed until the master mocked her form. Humiliated, she quit. Years later at Power Yoga, endless downward dogs exhausted her. She didn't understand that strength comes from the center, not straining. Gradually, deeper messages penetrated. This is your practice, only for you. Quit watching others. Simply breathing with attention benefits body, mind, and spirit more than any posture. Physical exhaustion evolved into an exquisite remedy for mental noise. Meditation became her oxygen. Sitting in lotus position, spine elevated, hands in hip creases with palms up, gazing toward her third eye center. Like all Hemingways, she battled addictive tendencies, constantly seeking highs that always faded. She'd felt unconditional love only in rare moments, atop mountains, gazing at newborn daughters, during her wedding when light streamed through stained glass. Meditation became her path to finding this connection consistently rather than waiting for lightning strikes of transcendence. Triangle pose became her metaphor for life. Daily surprises pull us from center, but by engaging her core and keeping her feet planted, she found balance even when thrown off. Our bones ground us like souls, silent and stable. Our muscles chatter like minds, constant and complaining. She practiced observing the noise without letting it control her. In mountain pose, she discovered what she'd sought. True balance comes not from controlling circumstances, but from finding the quiet center within. Her father had found peace outdoors, moments of prayer with creatures and places he loved. He passed that wilderness love to Mariel, a gift she hoped to give her daughters. The Hemingway curse didn't break because Mariel was stronger. It broke because she stopped fighting herself. She learned that instability is learning, breakdown is understanding, and pain transforms. By accepting this pattern rather than controlling it, she returned to balance. In a world promising control through achievement, we've forgotten the most radical truth: you are already whole. The balance you seek isn't something to build or earn, it's something to remember. Stand in your mountain pose, plant your feet, breathe. The legacy you create begins not with what you inherit, but with what you choose to transform.